I hope that you have enjoyed this episode and found it useful. We very much enjoyed recording it. If you want to be coached by us, you can head over to esgfitness.co.uk/commit6. Our February intake is now open. If you're listening to this at a different time, you can still head there to join the waiting list, which will probably be up. But we'd love to have you. And if you're unsure about whether Commit 6 is right for you, fill in the application form there and I will email you. I will also put the link to this in the show notes. Have the most wonderful day. Hello and welcome to this episode of the ESG Fitness Podcast. I have Shona and Andy with me today. How are you guys?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Shona's in her car.
I am.
But that, do you know what? It's that kind of effort. No, I'm not going to miss the podcast. I'm going to sit inside the car. And do you know what? I think audio quality, Andy, you used to do that all the time. Sit in your car.
Audio quality, great. That or the toilet. They're the two places. But you don't want to do a Zoom call in the toilet. That's unless you've got the background and behind you.
Well, the last one we did was just so good. And I was thinking, I can't miss this one because last week's was just so fun.
Well, it better be fun then. Are we going to start with something fun?
Yes. Right. Okay. Andy, did you see the discussion topic that I put in the group chat?
What was that one?
Right, okay.
Oh, is he actually working?
I know. Okay, so here's a big question for you, Andy. And the question is, what are things that seem normal to everyone else, but you just can't get your head around?
How long do we have? This could be a series of podcasts itself.
Mm.
Life quotes, people posting, like, incessantly posting life quotes.
Andy, like, I love life quotes. Live, laugh, love.
The majority of people that post in life quotes, they're hiding stuff. That's all I'm saying. It's basically the more life quotes that you fire up on your social media, the more of a clusterfuck your life probably is.
You're sharing what you need to hear, right?
Yeah, but it's the folk that just keep putting them up, like four a day stuff. You're like, mute. Bye-bye. I've had enough of your shit. Just that life quotes, not for me.
Andy likes a demotivational quote.
I'm too motivated. The best times I'm too happy. I need to be brought down a peg or two. That's how it works.
Life's if I ever not that good, calm down.
There we go. I'm now back to equilibrium again. We're all good.
If I ever feel like I'm getting ahead of myself and that I need brought down a peg or two, I just go to Andy's Instagram page and buy like.
Yeah, do it. Just give up.
Three posts in and I'm a quivering wreck on the floor.
What's yours, Shona?
Okay, so my first one is wearing jeans. I wish I could be someone that comfortably wears jeans, but I have never found a pair that are comfortable. Like, I'll wear them to fit in with normal society, but I don't enjoy it. Like, it's not a fun experience.
They're not comfortable.
Oh, really? But you wear jeans all the time?
Me?
Yeah. ESG. Like, you've got a pair of black jeans every time you're in
casual. I have one pair of jeans that I wear every time. And all I ever wear is either like gym clothes or that one pair of black jeans with a black t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Always the same.
It's the same jeans.
Wait, so they're hard to dress.
They're uncomfortable. Jeans are hot. They're awful. It's, in fact, funny, I remember saying this to my dad. My dad was like, oh, Dad. He's like, why do you not wear more jeans? I'm like, oh, God, I can't fit any of them. Like, I have a 32-inch waist and I need 38-inch to 40 for my arse and my legs. And he's like, oh, you should go down to Matalan. I'm like, why is that? He goes, because they've got stretchy jeans for fat lads like you. I was like,
fat okay, I think mine is thinking that it's enjoyable to get your hair done.
Oh, right. Okay, so I love getting my hair done.
No, Absolute waste of time, most unenjoyable experience. Just, and also you always look awful, like you're staring at yourself when they're like, either they're brushing your hair so it's like frizzy as hell, or you've just had it washed so you're like slapped, like bald, and you just have to stare at yourself in the mirror for like 3 hours. Hate it. I don't understand why people are like, oh, what treat, going to get your hair done. No, as you can tell by the state of my hair, I do not go frequently.
Okay, so I love things like that. Would you hate a spa day as well?
So I think Jordan and I are going to go for a spa day on the weekend. But all I don't right, okay. hate... I feel like that's a little bit different. But I don't... I mean, saying that, we'll probably go for 2 hours. And then we'll be like, want to go do something else? And we'll probably go to the gym and then sit in the sauna.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I probably would hate a spa day, realistically. Mm-hmm.
What about you, Andy? Do you like getting your hair done?
My hair takes like 10 minutes.
I don't believe you. That looks like a lot of effort went into it.
Zero effort. Genuinely nothing. I'm literally growing mine at the moment, so I see like my hairdresser like once every 3, 4, 5, 6 months at the moment. It's great. I just wake up. I'm done. Can't be bothered.
What else do you have, Shaina? What else?
Okay, another one of mine is people getting offended when you misgender their dog. And just actually just like having a dog, dogs like being referred to as like she or he is kind of like, I know, honestly, it just seems a bit strange. What's that?
What do you mean being referred? You would be like, you'd say she.
You know, I would. But then like, I remember one time I was in the park and there was this big, like, you know, British bulldogs, like a Churchill dog. It's like this big, ugly dog. And this man goes, is that dog called Stuart? And the owner was like, no, that's Cleo. Like, how dare you? She's a she. Can't you see? And that, yeah, it makes me, I'm like, it's dog. It's a dog.
The dog. I used to think all cats were girls and all dogs were boys. And I think I still assume that, like, to an extent. Like, you know how all if there's like a more feminine looking dog, like a little Pomeranian or something, I'm like, oh, she's so cute. And it's like, it's a boy. I was like, oh,
well, that's what I mean. Like, people getting offended because you didn't know that their dog, because it would be a bit weird. Like, otherwise, you're kind of like looking underneath to check the genitals, which is a bit strange. Let's face it.
Sometimes that's not even going to tell you.
No, yeah, not. No, no.
So,
all right. Okay.
You hear Akira gets mistaken for a boy all the time, and she wears a pink fucking collar. Like, could it get any more? But
stereotypical.
If you get pissed off at that, it's got fucking much bigger problems in life.
I honestly, like, so there's been a couple of times that people have like said, "Oh, what a lovely wee girl," about Cormac. I could not care less because he's a baby. Like, he's a baby. How can you tell? You can't really tell. And sometimes I like to dress him in things that are like a bit more colourful, like pink and some flowers and stuff. Maybe like a little dress. No, I don't know.
No, like a dress and a tutu. And it's like, yeah, I don't think you can get annoyed at that. But then I do think that when I meet babies, I don't want to ask, is it a boy or a girl?
So I just kind of wait. The first mistake you're making is calling it an it.
Well, how can you call it? Well, if I knew its name, I wouldn't have to ask.
What is that thing?
What's this? What is
it? What is it? okay. Let's get on with the question.
Yeah, sorry. If you've got any good ones, like, definitely comment them below because I'd be interested to read. Yeah,
comment them in the group. Because I think I've got loads. I just was too on the spot.
I'm sorry. I need to give you more time next time.
Yeah, but that's a good one. Maybe we come back to that next week.
Okay,
here's a question. I'm having some success with fat loss, and this is really motivating me. It has caused me to reevaluate the value I place on certain things, such that at the moment, there is really nothing more important to me than hitting my calorie target. However, I know in transient moments of weakness, I may choose poorly when confronted by chocolate and cake, etc. Can you give me any advice to help me keep this thought front and center that hitting my deficit is the most important thing to me right now, I honestly don't want these empty calories and I don't want to regret my choices. Great question. What did you say?
Just sounds like you're being awful strict on yourself. Like,
yeah, also, it's probably not the most important thing to you, like, ever. But yeah. I think I almost want to move past that because I feel like that's kind of not what she's saying. It's more about, like, in these moments of weakness. And I kind of get the gist of this. If I'm, or this is my interpretation of the question, you know how you sometimes make, well, the point I'm going to make is you don't actually make choices. You're like, oh, I ate that biscuit, and you almost didn't really register that you were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's that where you're like in these situations where you're kind of like, oh yeah, just have it. And then like, oh, I feel like I didn't actually consciously make that choice. I didn't think, is this the way that I want to spend my calories today? Or is this the choice I want to make given my goals at the moment? And I think for me, that's the crux of it. So taking a moment to pause and be like, I am going to choose my response to this situation as opposed to react and just be like, there's cake in front of me, so now it's in my mouth. Like, okay, actually, no, I do want to choose to eat this cake, but I'm making a conscious choice to do it as opposed to it almost like happening to you.
Yeah. I think the pause is what really works for me as well. Like the other morning, I was so tired and I'd already had my breakfast and I was going around Lidl and I honestly stood in front. Do you know those pretzels that you get, the salty ones? And I stood at the baked bit in front of the pretzel for, I'm not joking, probably about 30 seconds, like just completely motionless, just staring at it. I must have looked insane. But after 30 seconds, I was like, move on. And I just walked away and I was so proud. And it was definitely the pause that did it. It was the pause rather than just being like, oh, I'll think about this later, which I think is what we do quite often, is that we act on the impulse and then think about it afterwards. And you're like, oh, shit. But taking the pause first really worked for me too.
I thought you were about to say for 30 minutes you were standing there.
And that's why I was late for the podcast. Sorry, guys. I was staring at a pretzel in Lidl. Also, they're not that nice.
Yeah.
I have tried a pretzel from quite a lot of the supermarkets and the Lidl one isn't the best. Marks and Spencer's is definitely the best. It's like more than double the price.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Everything is more than double the price. But what I will give them credit for is it is normally more than double as nice. And then I kind of like it because I'm like, actually, I'd only buy one as a treat now and again because it's really expensive, but it's really tasty. Mm. As opposed to Lidl, you'd be like, yeah, I could have one every day because it's only 50p or something.
Yeah, 49.
I can't get on board with pretzels.
No.
They're tasteless and shite.
Yeah, not, but Andy doesn't even drink hot drinks.
Yeah, I don't do hot drinks.
Like, you don't you're not allowed to have an opinion on these things.
Fair enough.
Every time we go out for coffee, it's just what do you normally get? A Pepsi or something?
A Pepsi Max.
Pepsi Max. Okay. Next question. Really struggling to hit my step goal in this extreme cold and dark weather. Can you give any tips or advice on how I can boost my steps a little? Honestly, don't want to go outside to walk in the cold and dark alone. We 100% endorse this message of not going out in the cold and dark to get steps in. Like, I would hate to think that anything would ever happen to anyone. And it's just not enjoyable. So there is obviously, we're big fans of Steps with Ricky. Is that what it's called? Rick? Ricky? Anyway. The YouTube thing. Or, I mean, realistically, you can march on the spot. If you've got like a bike at home, sure, it's not going to get you steps, but it's still energy expenditure. I bought a couple of years ago a really cheap treadmill. I think it was like 80 quid. It's possibly the worst treadmill you'll ever find. Like it's quite a lot. But actually, that just kind of keeps you on your, like you have to be quite aware because now and again, the pad will just like slip a little bit. So, you know, it's good for the core stability. You could think about doing that. Do you guys have any other suggestions? Dancing?
Yeah, yeah. I do that regularly.
Dancing. Yeah.
Steps with Rick. He's got a video, Steps with Rick, 5,000 steps at home in 40 minutes. That's quite a long one. 16-minute, 2,000 steps. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. There you go. Rick's got you. So can I just ask, what I've never bothered to actually look at what happens. Is it just him marching on the spot?
No, I think it's step aerobics. I think it's like a sort of dancey workout. But also like the thought of him counting the steps afterwards to see how many he got.
Oh, surely he just wears a Fitbit.
Sorry. Yeah, I'll just sit.
Well, don't do that. Don't do that, Emma. We know that he sits and counts them. 1001, 1002. Oh, wait, 1001 again. Yeah.
Oh, I lost count. I'll have to start again.
We need to go back to the beginning.
Okay. I'm wondering if you have any resources or to point me in the right direction of information for clients who have ADHD. Clients? This must be a personal trainer asking. I've been researching a little and found some good articles on binge/disordered eating and ADHD, but haven't come across anything specific. I think the reason for that is it is so individual. So the stats around the likelihood of you having binge eating or an eating disorder if you have ADHD are wild. It's something like you're 80% more likely. So it is something to be aware of. But I think the problem here, or like the worry here, is like putting people into a camp. Like, you have ADHD, thus you must have this problem, thus we must do this. And the way that we approach all clients is, okay, that's a consideration for us, definitely. It's good information for us to know. But if you aren't experiencing binge eating, then I don't need to treat you for binge eating, or like you are. And everyone's ADHD, there are actually numerous different types as well, but everyone's manifests in slightly different ways. So it's good to know that there might be that predisposition. But my tip is, if you're working with a client, it would be talk to the client about how that manifests for them. If they're on medication, if they're not, like, if, you know, if they're getting help with this, if they need to adjust their life in certain ways, like if thinking about things in certain ways is helpful or not helpful. To be honest, it's not that different than how you would discuss anything with any other client, but it's useful extra information to have. On top of this, I think it's a little bit like extra dangerous at the moment, given how many people have either been diagnosed or have self-diagnosed themselves with ADHD and then think, well, then I'll definitely have binge eating disorder. Or then it almost turns into a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy of, if you understand that you might get more of a dopamine response to food or to like binge eating type behaviors, then that kind of becomes like a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy for some people, or you can lead down that road, and it's obviously not what we would want either. Do either of you have anything to add on that?
Yeah.
No, I think just basically what you're saying is that you need to treat the individual and meet them at their needs, rather than be like, okay, you've got this thing, then this, we do X, Y, Z. Because everyone experiences this differently, don't they?
Yeah. Okay. So next question. How do you reduce snacking or feelings of hunger? Who wants to go first? Okay, I have a new thing for snacking.
Okay, let's hear it.
So as everyone probably knows, I'm quite anti-snacking in general. I think most people who are focused on their diet have actually pretty good meals. It's what they do around those meals that tends to be the problem. And the reason I don't like snacking is it tends to be mindless. I also think it often makes you more hungry, not less. Again, kind of depending on what you're snacking on and the behaviors around snacking. And then I would observe your behaviors as well. Most people snack because they're bored, not hungry. And I noticed this myself. Like, today I'm working from home, I've already eaten significantly more, and it's only like 3:30 than I would normally eat in like before my dinner, right? Like before I start eating dinner at like 6 or 7 or something. And that's because I've been at home and it's a different environment and I'm a little bit bored. And between calls, I'm always like, oh, I'll just have a little snack of this or do something like that. So a lot of this is to do with your environment. When I work out in a coffee shop, I don't even really think about snacking. Like, it doesn't really cross my mind. I'm not having to practice willpower or constraint. It's just a different environment. So consider whether you're actually hungry or whether it's the environment that you're in. Secondly to this, like I said, the issue with snacking is that it tends to be mindless and it adds up. So rather than letting that happen, allocate yourself. Okay, I can have 400 calories worth of snacks today, and also kind of set them out, especially if you're going to work or something. You could be like, I'm going to bring an apple cereal bar, I don't know, a small packet of nuts or something, and some popcorn. And if I want them, I will have them, but I won't like force myself to have them, right? But then you also know that, hey, that adds up to about 400 odd calories. If I consume that during the day, I'm still going to be within my target. If I have some left and I want to have it after dinner, and again, those are just random choices. It could be a bit of chocolate, it could be whatever you want, then I'll have it then. But I think allocating that calorie bracket for it so it doesn't get kind of out of control, or it's very easy to add up to like 700 calories if you have coffee and then a biscuit with it and then a couple of other snacks throughout the day without you even really feeling like you've consumed that much. You could be 700 calories up. So setting it out at the start of the day and being like, right, these are my optional snacks for the day. If I do get hungry, I'm going to bring these with me. And if I do decide, you know, at 11, I want something to eat, I'm going to pick one of those, as opposed to just kind of like grazing throughout the day.
Yeah. It's a little bit like the first question with the taking a pause. I think I'm very much a boredom eater. If I'm at home and I'm doing work, I'm generally, because I'm close to the kitchen, I'm like, oh, I wonder what's in the cupboard. Let's go and have a quick look. And by the time you've had three breaks, you've already overshot your calories. So taking that pause to think, is it actually hunger, or is it am I just bored and I'm just finding something to do? So yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah, and then using the HALT technique. Am I hungry, angry, lonely, tired? Is that the right ones?
Horny, angry, lonely, tired.
Yeah, that's it. That was the one. Yeah. So when you're pausing, like basically asking yourself, like, why am I eating here? Or why am I not eating here? I don't know why bored isn't in there. HALT. I think that's it.
Lonely could potentially, you could put that into boredom, I suppose.
Yeah, lonely, bored. Yeah. I don't know what's happened to Shona, but we'll just continue.
I was wondering, she was like...
Yeah. Oh, hey, you're back.
Sorry.
Did you have anything to add on snacking?
I was just nipping away for a snack. No, I think that, like, for me, just remembering that feeling hungry isn't like a really scary thing that we need to avoid. And that sometimes it can and make you enjoy your meal so much more. So if I find the time that I get hungry is like before dinner, and just remembering that, like, if I eat something, I'm just not going to enjoy dinner as much, and that's going to take away from that meal. So
I think that's such a good point. Like, yeah. I like to be hungry before meals. I actually, you know, like, I don't really want to have a meal if I'm not hungry. So if it was, I don't know, 4 p.m. and I was a little bit hungry, but I knew that I was having dinner at 6, I probably wouldn't eat. Saying that, for some people, that then means they overeat at dinner. So there is a line between, like, being hungry to the extent that you really enjoy your dinner, or being hungry to the extent that you massively overeat. But again, sometimes that's your behaviors around food. So it's like, how fast are you eating? Are you sitting down? Are you having a glass of water? Do you have enough food volume so that you're not just like wolfing it down and then continuing to eat more afterwards? But yeah, I agree with that. I think being a little bit hungry is actually quite a good thing. And then as you were saying that, it made me think of, there's a quote, and it's not really about hunger, but it's something like, feelings aren't real, or feelings aren't reality. And I think that's such a good, like, reminder, just generally, even things like when your mood is low. I don't know, like, we were talking to Andrina in the group this morning, and she's like, I've got really low mood, I think my period's due, but I'm perimenopausal, so I don't know when it's coming, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, so feelings are real, but they're not reality, right? So you might feel like, oh, everything's not going well at the moment, but it's just your perception at the moment because of the mood that you're in, or because of hormonal reasons, or you know, it could be a load of things. But reminding yourself of that, because I think often we're like, I feel like X, so I should do Y. And instead of being led by your feelings, which can be impacted by so many things, actually, can you be led by living in line with your values or your goals, or like the choices that you want to make? And I guess, like, this, the theme of this whole podcast so far has been taking a pause and making a decision instead of reacting to feelings, environment, what's in front of you. Okay, if healthy weight reduction is 0.5 kilograms. Sorry, if healthy weight reduction per week is 0.5 kilograms, what is the equivalent in measurement expectation? Is it 1 centimeter per month in waist? Sorry. So like 1 centimeter per month off your waist.
I saw this post that was kind of similar to this, and it was like, but it was like the opposite. And it was like, if you gain this amount of muscle, then it is equal to this amount of like centimeters. And I was like, no.
So no. The first point to make is 0.5 kilograms per week could be a healthy weight reduction per week for someone who's losing body fat, but it also might not be, and it might not be realistic for most people, and it might actually be not very much at all for other people. Like, I know, Andy, when you were cutting, you lost significantly more than that per week, right? But you are a bigger human being. Like, it doesn't, I wouldn't tie yourself to like a certain amount per week. It's not a good way to do it. And realistically, you will probably start losing more per week, and then as you have less and less body fat to lose, like the amount you lose per week is going to become less and less.
Yeah.
Point about your waist is it kind of relates back to like, you can't spot reduce fat, so you can't choose where that fat's going to come from. Might come from your waist, might come from your arms, might come from a little bit of both. And then I think we've mentioned this a few times recently, but measurements are really not that accurate. Like, it's very hard to do an accurate waist measurement. As a personal trainer, you can, if you're working with a client and you know how to use like bony landmarks and you're taking exactly the right point every time. But if you're doing it yourself at home, like, again, it's kind of like the scales. It's like, it's worth doing for trends over time, but it's not accurate enough. It's certainly not accurate enough to measure 1 centimeter lost per month. Like, the user error is far higher than that. So I would not really look at the measurements so much and try and focus on like the journey and ticking the boxes and the actionable points that you can do, and the rest will take care of itself. And I know that's easier said than done, but if you can really get in that headspace of, a successful week for me is I stuck to my calories, I got my protein in, I hit my steps, I did my workout, you know, whatever other targets that you have, that is the definition of a successful week, not I lost 2 pounds or I lost 1 pound or the measurement went down. Because the outcome goal you just don't have control over, but what you do have control over is your actions.
Yeah, just the same way people get hung up on the scales, you could quite easily get hung up on measurements if you're going to use it like that. And the last thing you need is more data to be able to beat yourself up with.
Yeah. Okay, next question. Shona, how do I move away from tracking?
Okay, so just because you're moving away from tracking doesn't mean that you need to lose all sense of structure. And I think that having lots of structure, and I need to find a new word for this, rules in place can really help. And I don't know what the other word is, but essentially it's rules. Guidelines or like non-negotiables or habits. I don't know. But so I know for a fact that Emma and I don't use MyFitnessPal and we don't track calories. Andy, do you use it? Or no. So none of us do. And we all go through phases of fat loss or maintenance or building muscle, and we're able to do that without tracking. And for me, like, if I wanted to achieve fat loss, then I would do things like limit it to 3 meals plus 1 snack or 3 meals. I would prioritize protein. I would make sure that I was getting 6 portions of fruit and veg. I would make sure that I didn't eat after my last meal. I might not have carbs during breakfast and lunch and have carbs in my evening meal. I might intermittent fast. There's lots and lots of ways that you can do that. And it's just a case of like having that structure set out and then following it.
Yeah. And then I think people, correct me if I'm wrong, and I think sometimes this is a bit of marketing, but I think people make this huge deal out of moving away from tracking. And honestly, by the time you've been, I don't know, on a quote-unquote diet or eating a certain way for a period of time, the likelihood is you're eating roughly the same things every day with some changes in there. But like, probably not that far off. And like, even when you think about when you go out for dinner, if you've got a place that you regularly go, like how often do you just pick the same thing? Because like, I know this is what I like. So there probably isn't as much variety in your diet as you think. Now, if I took the app away from you, like MyFitnessPal or NutriCheck, whatever you're using, away from you for a day, I would fully expect you to be able to eat roughly what you normally ate and nothing else would be different. Like the calories have the same, sorry, the food has the same calories in whether you're inputting it into an app or not. And really the benefits of calorie tracking are things like adherence, accountability, the pause between when you actually make a choice, like kind of what we were talking about before, like, okay, the pause, like getting your phone out and seeing how many calories is in something is a forced pause before you make that choice. Then you're more likely to make a choice rather than just react to what's in front of you. So you don't, but you don't need to track to do all of those things. You can force yourself to do it anyway. You'd be like, okay, instead of stopping before I make food choices to get my phone out and look at an app, I could just stop and think in my head, is this the right choice given my goals at the moment? Yeah, so I think sometimes people are like, okay, well, what we'll do is we'll slowly, slowly reduce tracking so that you track every other day or you only track these meals. And it's like, you probably don't need to do that. Like a lot of our clients just do really well of like, yeah, I was tracking for a while, but actually what I got from tracking was knowing rough portion sizes of things. Now I don't track anymore because I know already the portion sizes of the foods I regularly eat. And I know roughly how many calories are going to be in things. Thus, I don't need to track. And then, like, I love the rules Shona's come up with. Like, I use a model called the 3-to-1 method where during the day I eat pretty structured meals. In the evening, I have a bit more flexibility. Works really well on, like, weekends or eating with your family. And something we really recommend is that anyone who, even if fat loss is your goal, like, we want you to eat socially. We want you to eat with your family. So doing that works really well because if you're like, okay, I know I have the evening meal where I eat with my family, cool, well, you've still got two other meals and a snack to absolutely nail your nutrition, and then you won't have to be quite as like tight on things in the evening. I wrote a little article about that, so I will put it in the show notes of this episode. It's a pretty simple concept, but it works like exceptionally well, and it gives you just enough. Like it gives you enough freedom, but also enough discipline that you just get great results without being restricted.
I've been getting adverts on Instagram for MyFitnessPal. Have either of you?
No.
And they all follow the same structure where it's like, it's a girl wearing not very much. And she's like, here's what I track on MyFitnessPal for a day. And it was this girl and she is in great shape. And she's like, here's my vegan diet. She did not eat one vegetable. So I watched the whole advert and it was like vegan sausage and eggs. And then lunch was this like vegan tamale thing. And then dinner was pasta and meatballs. And I was like, where's the vegetables? You're vegan. You're vegan. And I think that's like so sort of indicative of MyFitnessPal is that sort of like calories over anything. And actually for a lot of people, breaking free from MyFitnessPal and not tracking actually leads you to have a much more healthy and diet full of variety.
Yeah.
Like, so I know that's my own experience.
I'm playing in my head is, we're breaking free. We're soaring.
Well, I know that was my experience.
Yeah. I think MyFitnessPal does obviously have its benefits, though. I think using it to be able to understand how food works. Things like, you know, being able to eyeball a chicken breast and know that it's 150 grams of chicken's like 30 grams of protein. Because I know there's a lot of people that are like, oh, you shouldn't be tracking at all. And it's like, well, actually, like the whole process, you need to be able to learn and educate. Learn, and that's basically what it is. So if you can learn as much as you can about food sources, how to split your meals, how to routine meals, all these things, you can then move away from tracking quite easily once you know what you're doing. But it would be like trying to run before you walk. Like, how many people can actually go into a diet without tracking straight into that, get results? Because most people don't know what's going into what they're putting into their food. So that educational standpoint, and it doesn't need to take a long time. It can take 2 or 3 weeks. It can take 4 weeks, provided you're picking up the bits that you need to work with. But yeah, tracking wise, tracking my, for me, routine works. Like, I have 3 meals a day that are exactly the same, and my evening meals slightly different. And yeah, it works nicely.
It's doing 3-to-1 method as well. Yeah, I think there are pros and cons to MyFitnessPal. And I agree with Shona that a lot of people go down the way of like, well, I could have this broccoli or I could have a Magnum. And actually, I'd rather have a Magnum. It's like, yeah, but like realistically, it doesn't have the same impact, which is also why I like, and I know Andy, just from being around you and having seen what you eat, like the first three meals I have, or the 2 meals and a snack, however you want to say it or do it, they hit all of my targets. So I'm like, I've already not quite hit protein, but like very much almost hit protein. I've got in my fruit and veg, I've got in fiber, I've got in a variety of plant-based foods. And so I know I've hit all the boxes before, and then like dinner can, like, I mean, mine's generally during the week pretty like healthy anyway, but if it's not, and you're not getting in more fruit and veg, or you're not getting in that much more protein, or you do want to have a Magnum after dinner, you've already hit like your non-negotiables for health during those first 3 meals. And that works really well. Okay, right. Next question. Should I sacrifice running for strength workouts if fat loss is a goal and time is short?
Yes.
Next question. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, next question. Moving on. It depends. So I would say, much like the whole, like, let's get your non-negotiables for the diet side in, and then you can have a bit more flexibility in the evening. I would say the same. So like, are you doing 3 strength training workouts a week already? Because if you are, cool, do some running if you enjoy running. If you're like, no, I'm not getting in my 3 resistance training workouts, then I would be prioritizing those first. And then you have to remember that a lot of people think that running is good for fat loss, and for some people it is. And this is the hard part, is there's no set answer for everyone. Like, some people will start doing couch to 5K and their hunger will ramp up to the extent that they put on weight from exercising more. Other people will find that it reduces their appetite, and other people, most people, it kind of has like not that much effect. But there are certainly people that are like, yeah, I started training for a marathon and their hunger ramps up so much that they really struggle to stick to anywhere near their energy needs, and they're way overshooting. So that, I mean, one reason not to just compare yourself to someone else, because I know the kind of discussions that happen, and like Shona and I might be training for a marathon and she's like, well, what? Like, I lost loads of weight when I was training for a marathon. I couldn't eat enough to, like, you know, even maintain my weight. And I might be like, well, you know, like I found that my hunger was so high that I ate so much and I actually ended up putting on weight. I personally find that exercise reduces my appetite. I also personally find that not sleeping ramps it up like a ridiculous amount. Like, I notice that after one day of even having like marginally less sleep, I'm like, I am so much hungrier. I don't know if it's the lack of sleep, the tiredness, or the longer day. I can't figure it out. So like, if I get up at 5 instead of 6, which is only 1 hour, I eat significantly more during the day from only like 1 extra hour. So I don't know. I don't know if it's partly just routine of like, okay, well, I also then had my breakfast an hour earlier, and then I end up like, you know, it's 12 o'clock and I've already eaten my lunch, and you're like, it seems like a long way until dinner. Yeah, what are your thoughts, Shona, on running and fat loss?
I mean, pretty much exactly what you've said. I mean, if your goal is just to lose fat and it's a way of increasing your energy expenditure, like that's the only way that you can get steps in, then yes, but ideally we'd find a way to make them both work. And I think remembering that your strength workouts, like if you are pushed for time and it's a case of, well, I just don't have time to go to the gym. And I mean, for me, it takes me half an hour to get to the gym and half an hour to get home. So that's 2 hours out of my day that I need. Whereas I know that I could do half an hour at home as opposed to 2 hours out of my day. But do I want to do a home workout? Probably not as much. But if it's the way that I can get it done, that's the way I'll have to do it. So probably just finding a way to make them both work, because I don't believe that there's anyone out there that can't make them both work.
Yeah, I agree. And just remembering that, fat loss aside, like realistically, will strength work help fat loss? No. it doesn't directly help fat loss, but the reason we put strength work in is whether your goal is fat loss, maintenance, or building muscle, or even putting on fat, like exercise is undoubtedly the best thing you can be doing for your health. So it doesn't matter what your goal, even if you've got no goals whatsoever, like strongly believe everybody should have exercise in their lives. So that's when when people are like, I don't have time to exercise. I'm like, it's not even, it's like, to me, it's like saying, well, I don't have time to have a shower. Like you would make time to have a shower, right? After a couple of days, you'd be like, I really should be having a shower now. The same as with exercise. Like, and I don't say that because I'm like, oh, you should be doing this, or I judge you for the way that you look or anything. Like, has absolutely nothing to do with any of that. It's just a fundamental thing. You cannot be healthy if you're not doing some form of exercise on a relatively regular basis. And it doesn't have to be, you need to go and do a really hard CrossFit class, or you need to go to the gym and lift weights. It could be, I'm going to do a 15 minute home workout. It's still so, so, so important to be doing. And actually even more important if at the moment you're not doing any exercise, just doing a 15 minute home workout even twice a week is going to give you incredible health benefits. Okay, right, next question. How many weeks of being consistent before you would move a calorie count if the weight isn't changing? Basically, when to drop calories.
That's a really good question. And I think like that's a discussion that you need to have with your coach.
Yeah.
Because it really depends. Like, if you were on 1600 calories and you were like a 65 kilo woman and you were doing your 10k steps, all your workouts, blah blah blah, and you weren't dropping weight, I would maybe have a look at, I would ask you to maybe look at what you are eating, or if there's like spells when maybe you're having things and not tracking them, or it's really, really easily done. Like some little things, like I remember having someone who it totally clicked one day that they were having like a large latte with whatever, all the other stuff in it, and they just didn't think that was a thing. Also, alcohol can really add so many calories to your week. It can literally just take you out of a deficit. Like you could be in a deficit for the full week, and then you have like a bottle of wine and maybe some snacks on top of that, and you don't even think about it, and then you're out of the deficit and you're not seeing any changes. If you're maybe like not tracking oils or mayonnaise or butter, things like that, it can all add up. So I would probably look at that before we reduce your calories. And actually, for some people, it can be a case of increasing your calories, because then it makes it easier to stick to. So if you're really struggling with sticking to 1600, if we increase to 1800, just that little bit extra allows you to stick to it consistently for 7 days, and then you start to see progress.
Yeah, because the increasing of calories actually creates a bigger deficit over time, because you can be adherent to those calories. Yeah. And it is a little bit of like a head mind shift to get around. You're like, no, if I want to lose weight, I need to drop calories. But actually, sometimes we need to increase them to allow adherence, to actually allow us to create a bigger deficit over time. Not like, we're not talking about like days here, we're talking about weeks and months. And that's what's actually going to get you results. The other thing I would consider, because this has been coming up quite a lot, is that a lot of people will just weigh themselves kind of randomly, and that can just catch you on a fluctuation and mean that, hey, actually you've stuck to everything, you have lost body fat, but you weighed yourself the week before your period, or on a Monday after you had a big weekend, or, you know, various other things that can impact your weight. Sometimes it might not be obvious, but there are so many things that can impact your weight, and it isn't a realistic representation. So that's why we do generally like people to weigh themselves every single day and then take the lowest weight from the week, so that we're not really like, we're kind of reducing the noise of all the fluctuations there. Yeah, because that happens a lot. Like, oh, I've not lost any weight. Like, when did you weigh yourself? I weighed myself day one and day and like 2 weeks in. And it's like, we don't have enough data to say that you've not lost any weight. As a general ballpark figure, I would want someone to be genuinely consistent for the bare minimum of 2 weeks, usually 3 weeks, especially if you're a woman. With men, I'll probably drop them after 2 weeks if I think it's appropriate. But again, as Shona said, it really depends on the numbers. Like, because we could say, hey, you need to be consistent for 3 weeks, and someone's like, I genuinely think I've been consistent on 1400 calories for 3 weeks, I'll drop them. And it's like, no, because these numbers just get lower and lower and lower. And it's less so that it will like damage your metabolism, but it just becomes, one, unmaintainable. But secondly, you often get stuck in your head of, there must be something wrong with me because I think that I'm sticking to 1200 calories and not losing weight. And then you have like, and 1200 calories to anyone sounds restricted, right? So if you think you're going to be restricted, then you will feel that way, and then you will be, and then again it impacts adherence again. So I mean, we could do hours and hours of this, and in fact I did a really like a bit of a deep dive into this on the EIQ nutrition webinars, which are free. So you could go over there and have a little look, eiqnutrition.com, and it talks through a lot of what Shona's just said, but the research behind it as well, which I think breaks down people's barriers to like, oh no, I definitely have been adherent to, oh, okay, actually, even dietitians can do this accurately. Even when I offer someone $50 to track accurately, they still couldn't be accurate. And then you're like, okay, right, well, maybe I'm not being that accurate. Maybe there are places where calories could be creeping in, and maybe I can figure out where that is. And then it comes back to like consistency as well. Realistically, if you are genuinely consistently doing something and it's not working, then we just need to reduce the calories, or we just need to reduce the amount of food you're eating. And then the second conversation would be, how do we do that? Because what we don't want to do is just take food out because you'll be hungry. What we probably want to do is make swaps to keep food volume high but reduce calories at the same time. So yeah, if you think you're struggling with that, reach out in the group. But realistically, you will have a check-in probably within the next 3 days anyway. So the best thing to do, as Shona said, is speak to your coach. Okay, guys, awesome podcast today. We'll be back next week to answer all the questions, and have lovely days.
That was really fun. Bye.